I guessed that you would be the only one who would dare to come here. You've got courage.
Yo, 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 the Get Your Podcast crew is in the building. That's right, you got your homie Juss.
The name is Guard. Remember it.
Yo, shout out, Gambit. We're going to talk about that soon. But we had WrestleMania weekend pop off. And I know it's been two weekends, right? And I know we're kind of late on talking about WrestleMania and giving our review. But I felt like I wanted to give it some time. I wanted to simmer down. I wanted to see and lay out to see what the story is, you know, how it goes after the Raw after and the SmackDown after. And just seeing how, like, everything played out. Was it exactly what we wanted? Did everything work out the way we thought? And, you know, overall grade, if I just want to go over first and say it, I'm going to give it an A. Overall A. I mean, night one, I know there's some discourse, people saying that like it was kind of like mid-tempo, a lot of tag teams. But in a way, it's like, what is WrestleMania mostly, right? It's a showcase. It's a showcase for talent. Yes. Showcase of the Immortals. Like it's always been for the past 40 years. And I felt like that's what Night One represented. It represented Showcase of the Immortals. I mean, it was a packed card. Multi-person card up and down, except for the Rhea Becky. Oh, yeah. But in terms of having multiple people, and like it was mostly a tag match. It was mostly like, you know, a tag team match for night one. Everybody had a tag match, and I thought they utilized everybody the right way, the right time. Mm-hmm. Everyone got their time to shine. Night one for me, I thought it was an A. Garn, what about you?
All right, the way I evaluated this whole night one was clearly, if I had to do a comparison to like something in media, night one was definitely Avengers Infinity War. The way it built out.
The
first of the two.
Yeah.
Clearly. Obviously they kept emphasizing Endgame, but this was clearly Infinite War, especially that ending. But as you mentioned before, with the different players and casts coming together into this one show, it is basically the Avengers starting to slowly come together. But then there's a lot of obstacles in the way into coming together, especially with most of these stories interconnected with each other. So you could start at least see, this is where all your work that you built up from last WrestleMania to now, to that point, your story life fruition is coming, clashing together into one big epic battle. But I totally agree, they did utilize every inch of talent in terms of people assigned to the card. They use every inch of them, every single one of them, as best as they could. There might be some misses, but we could talk about later. But yeah, I totally agree. This WrestleMania, after just settling down and keeping a clear mind and reevaluating every other WrestleMania, this is probably one of the best ones. It's definitely the best two-nighter.
Yes, I was just going to say, because typically we only have either one of the nights be the best one. And I thought that like, even though night one was kind of not as good as night two, but still night one was good. I mean, you had Jade, you had Noemi, Trin, you had Belair, right? Bianca Belair all come down, right? From like, you know, the rafters, all three of them, right? In unison. I mean, that was a moment in itself.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? That was dope. And, you know, you had everything else with Rhea and Becky. That was dope. You know, you had Yeet versus Yeet, Jay versus Jimmy. You know, with that match, I also see some discourse in that. People wanted it to be this ultimate clash between brothers. To me, I personally didn't think it was that bad. But what about you? What did you think? Did you think it was too much of a...
That,
some people were saying it was just mostly super kicks, but like...
Well, yeah. I totally get it. But that match, I kind of wish it was more, but then I feel like they redeemed themselves in night two, especially with the run-ins at the final match. So I felt like that was the redeeming factor to it.
Yeah.
So they might not had possible. I think just because of time constraint too, but if they had a little bit more time, they didn't have to throw super kicks like crazy. But they did what they can. I say it wasn't like the WrestleMania match that I would want if everything was timed out, spaced out.
Especially since they were talking about this is what they dreamed about, right? You know.
Yes.
But at the same time, like, I'm thinking Jay himself is on a whole nother level in terms of like his wrestling mind. Like, his wrestling mind is not stuck in the tag team formula anymore, right? Like, he's thinking singles competitor, singles psychology, right? Where I think Jimmy is still kind of, because he doesn't have the he hasn't had the runs like Jay has in important matches and big time pay-per-view spots, that his mind is not in the same place. Like, their psychology is not the same.
When Jay started getting like a shot when Jimmy was out during COVID era, and I think that's where it clicked with Jay. It's like, he's like, oh, I could do this without my brother.
Yeah.
I could really do this without my brother.
Yep.
But I'm also going to throw in my Austin theory in this phase, since if we're jumping ahead here with what happened on SmackDown, with what happened at SmackDown and Jimmy getting knocked out. This might open up Jimmy to a singles run too, like a single vendetta against Sola and then, you know, Tonga.
I don't want the Usos to get back together just yet. I want Jay. They have a lot of investment in Jay. I want them to stick with that investment because You can't build this guy up so many times to the point where he doesn't win a championship, you know?
Yeah. So that's otherwise, why I think
go ahead.
That's why I'm thinking with Jay, they're building up Jay. They have to build up Jimmy for eventual reunion next WrestleMania. Maybe, but they have to build up Jimmy. So I think that's what I would try to do, is build up Jimmy.
I can see that. They don't, you know, in SmackDown, when it comes to the secondary title, the U.S. United States title, they don't have a lot of guys.
No, they don't.
They don't have a lot of guys, not like Raw does. So you might be right. They might be having him come on that secondary title.
Yeah, for sure. I would say that. For sure.
Speaking on that, like, the United States title, we're going into night one. Unless you got anything else you got to say with night one.
Well, there's plenty I could say with.
About I mean, little Wayne coming out, totally dope. I mean, nobody.
I think that. You know? Yeah, I think the WrestleManias, the WrestleManias, they implemented the celebrities almost pretty well. The only one I had a downfall was Night 2 Snoop Dogg. That's about it. But. But
I mean, his thing. Was it as big as some of the other WrestleManias? Not as much, but it's Snoop, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true. So, but yeah, night one, we could talk. We could dedicate a whole podcast to night one.
We're not done yet. We're still gonna talk about it. So let's get into the tag team match.
Yeah.
Right. The tag team match. I thought it was good. Did I think it was way too long, though? I thought it was a little too long. I mean, I know why they gave them the time, because the damn entrances. Mm-hmm. You know, Roman walks, like, what, half a speed to the aisle. Rock is going to take his time. You know what I'm saying? Cody's going to take his time. The only person that kind of didn't take his time was Seth.
Yeah.
Right? But all of those entrances combined are at least, like, 10, 15 minutes, you know?
Yeah. Definitely it ran long. I think they were trying they definitely had to space out, give Brock breaks in between too, but you know, he's ring rust, a lot of ring
the
rust.
The endurance, you could tell the endurance was off. You could tell the endurance was off. Like,
oh yeah.
When he had that first time in the ring and he was running them ropes and he was dodging them punches, I was like, oh dude, you could tell he needs a breath.
Yeah, he's not in ring shape, not totally in ring shape there at all.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Overall, the storytelling was, that's all they needed. They really needed the storytelling, and as long as they could perform the moves right, which they, I think 95% of it they did, which is, you know, perfectly fine. Especially near the end, when they need, what mattered the most is that ending of that match. That's the only thing I had a problem with, totally. That's it, though. But in storytelling, top-notch for night one. Definitely, that's why I always said, that's why I said before, Infinity War, for sure.
Yeah, and the fact that they were able to seamlessly tell the story with everybody on board where there's no confusion was also great, too. I did like the spot where they did the double pedigree. I thought that was good, you know, saying, you know, basically because they both like Triple H, so that was a good spot that they both did. I thought Roman really sold well in this match.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
And he was a great in-ring general, too. He made sure that, like, you know, not that he had to help Rock, but in a way, like, he had to make sure that he was in the right place because, you know, Roman has chemistry with all two of these guys, and Rock was kind of the odd person out, you know?
That's the weirdest thing to say. The Rock was the odd person out.
He was,
you know?
Because in a way, like, I don't know how you felt, but I felt like they kind of started the match off in a very Shield-esque way, right? Which was definitely something that Rollins and Roman are used to doing, right? And I just felt like at some points Rock was like taking it a little bit too slow, especially on the outside.
Yeah.
You know, dragging Cody, dragging Seth around, and you know, Seth Rollins had to pretend like he was taking some bumps that weren't deserved just because he was dragging. But yeah, Rock was kind of the odd man out, but you know, it was still cleaned up at the end. I do agree the people's elbow, but whatever. I mean, they had to do it just because the whole crowd wanted to see it too. I also got the vibes where the exact opposite thing happened. Remember when The Rock first Hogan? And remember Hogan was getting all those cheers as the bad guy? I felt this is the same situation with The Rock. He was getting a lot of the cheers and then everything like that because, you know, a lot of us have grown up watching The Rock. We still like The Rock. You know, doesn't matter if he's calling for Mama Rhodes and all that shit. But, I still thought it was overall night one was good. Night two. Ooh. This is the one that had a lot of good matches. I mean, I did not expect anything from Lashley, the Street Profits, the Pride versus the. What was it called? The
Final Testament.
Final Testament. I did not expect that match to be good, and that was good.
Mm-hmm. Except for that one folded chair spot. I mean, table spot, but that's about it.
Yeah. But the match for me, though, night one, even though all the matches were great, AJ Styles, LA Knight, Bayley versus Io Shirai.
Mm-hmm.
To me, that was like, other than when it comes down to pure wrestling, I thought that was the best one.
I would have to agree. I would definitely have to agree on that. It was very, very gratifying to see a Bayley match that's like purely Bayley and not like Bayley and associates or Bayley and tag team partner. This Bayley took me back to NXT Bayley when she did the Iron Man matches. Right. And you know, 2 out of 3 stuff. So this one took me back.
And I try having her moments too. Like
that counter
that she had that when she went into a front flip, right? All the aerial assaults. I mean, it was her moment too, even though she caught the L. Yeah. But
Bayley is like a perfect dance partner for anybody in that locker room.
Yep.
Right now, I think she's like the partner to be with, just because she will make you look good while at the same time making herself look good, making it
Right.
all work out at the end. So, she is the ideal partner you would have in a match if you need him.
Facts. I mean, and of course, we all love Bailey. I mean, all hail Bailey, you know. But yeah, that was a good match to me. I thought that was the match of the night in terms of just pure wrestling. But come on, the Cody versus Roman, the most like craziest ending. I mean,
Dude.
this is overbooked, but overbooked in the right way, you know.
Yeah. Dude, is this like your top WrestleMania main event?
You know what? I have to put it up there because if you look at all the WrestleManias, there are some years where the main event wasn't the best match. Like, by far, not the best match. Right? Like, Triple H versus Roman was not good. Triple H versus Roman versus Undertaker wasn't good. What was it? Triple H versus Randy Orton wasn't that good, right? Even though it should have been good. So I would have to definitely put this up there.
I'm trying to think if I want to put it on my top. That's the thing. I'm like, oh,
What would you say right now would be your five in terms of all 40? If you had to, if you just had no order, just five.
All right. One of them was Triple H, Shawn Michaels, and Redacted. That was definitely, if I was talking in pure wrestling sense, that was great. And that
Yeah.
storyline too.
Well, it's also hard to do in a triple threat too, you know.
It's very hard to make a triple threat work. I would also
Engelbrock is Engelbrock up there?
Angle Brock was very good too. It's just
Austin
that,
Rock,
yeah.
Austin Rock, 15,
Austin
17.
Rocks, yeah, the Austin Rocks. But in terms of wrestling aspect, oof. Austin Rock probably. I have to connect storyline because the main events of every WrestleMania. That storyline is the most important part. It's just that the wrestling will be the next. The wrestling has to put it over the top too. Oh man. Brian, I would say Brian too, because that storyline, that was a whole year build up too. I'm having a hard time putting
So, okay,
Rock
so right now
Roman
we got
Reigns in
two,
the
right?
top.
We got two. We got Brian, the triple threat, right? And you have two triple threat matches.
I have two triple threat matches. I was thinking about my third one would have been the Rey Mysterio one too, because that storyline's so good.
Rey
But
Mysterio. With Randy and Kurt.
yeah. But
Triple threat. I sense a
I know
theme. I sense a theme.
I sense a theme. Yeah, you should sense a theme. A lot of stories, it's hard for two people to carry unless it's like two out of this world characters like
Is the next one going to be
Rock and Austin for
Becky,
sure.
Charlotte?
No, that one's no. That had great buildup, but that execution, you could tell someone was
Well,
sandbagging a
let's
little
be
bit.
honest. Ronda was not should not have been in that spot.
No. She should not be in
Wait,
there.
let's say like say Ronda should have not been in that spot, or Charlotte should have not been in that spot. It should have just been Becky versus whoever. Should have been Becky versus Charlotte or Becky versus Ronda.
Versus Ronda. Yeah, it should have been either or,
Yeah.
definitely in that case. Sasha Belair is good
That
too.
yeah, that's definitely up there for sure. I mean, in any era,
I
that
think
would
I just
definitely
named
be.
five. So two triple threat matches. I got Rock and Austin. I got Becky and Belair, and definitely Rhodes and Romans too. Yeah, I got that's
Okay.
my five.
So you say so you're saying Sasha and Belair, or is it Becky and Belair?
I like Sasha and Belair. Sorry,
Yeah,
Sasha.
that first one, that night one, right?
Night one, yeah. Yep, for
Yeah,
sure.
it's hard to argue those. I mean, like, definitely I have on my list is the same. I got Belair and Sasha on mine. Okay. I know some people will kind of like say whatever about this, but AJ Styles and Undertaker are on my list. I know that was the COVID mania.
COVID mania. Okay.
But that was the perfect way to do that match. And it was only going to work with AJ Styles.
Yeah, it was the only way he could do that.
It was the only way it was going to work with AJ Styles. That's the only person that could have done that. And to be honest, like, AJ Styles is the main man after that. You have Undertaker's last match. You know what I'm saying? And it's a memorable one. Yeah, definitely. I don't know. For me, I kind of like Rock versus Austin 15, the first one.
Yeah.
Just because I didn't like the ending for 17. 19, there was no title on the line, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And then the other one definitely Cody versus Roman is up there too. And then, yeah, obviously our guy, Daniel Bryan at 30.
Yeah. Oh, I don't know if how I'm going to rank those. Like, for me, I think
It's hard to rank, but definitely those are the five on the list. But yeah. Definitely, I mean, this match, though, I mean, in terms of, like, overbooking, like we talked about, in terms of, like, just having it be Bloodline rules, I thought this played out well. I mean, there could have been a lot of ways where this has been too messy, and I didn't think it was that messy.
No, I think the way they did it was correct, where they had all their run-ins quickly back to back to back to back near the end, where they, while Rhodes and Reigns actually had a real match in the beginning of it, the first 20 minutes of it. So that, and then after that, when the run-ins came in, it was rapid. It was like, bam, quick, bam, next one, bam. Mm-hmm. So it got that crowd going. My question though is, was Undertaker the right choice for the last part?
Honestly,
I can see both ends. You know.
Yeah. Okay. Honestly, as much as I thought it would be great to have Austin in there, especially because that's what you think, just because. That can help Cody with The Rock, right? Because that's The Rock's greatest adversary. But then, I don't know. To me, I think Undertaker was the bigger pop.
Yeah.
Because no one saw it coming. And then because Undertaker has a connection with Cody, you know, he has a connection with The Rock. There's more. I think Undertaker has more connection with the overall storyline.
Yeah.
Right, on a personal level, not a wrestling kayfabe storyline, but like on a personal level. So that's why I think it worked, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would agree, because I was like, I was trying to figure out like who would fit in, and Austin was the closest one.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't think of anyone else really. I couldn't see like Diamond Dallas Page coming in and doing that.
Oh, Glacier?
Or Glacier.
I was hoping that The Rock was gonna The Rock, right when he did the he's gonna do another attempt at the people's elbow, that Cody's dog was gonna come bite him in the leg.
Yeah, the only other option I thought I would have came up with if they had the ability to get him was a long shot, but MJF.
Ooh,
it would have been just so. That would have been like the. Well, that would have been, like, maybe the third choice after Undertaker, Austin. Because I'd rather pick MJF over DDP in this case. But that would have been a long shot, like, absolute long shot. And I think that would have been wild. Like, what the heck is this guy doing here? Kind of wild.
Yeah,
I think if they were,
let's just say hypothetically speaking, you know, if they were to get MJF to come, I think he would have been more of a backstage thing, kind of like how Kevin Owens showed up for Sammy.
Yeah, on the exactly. Way out.
It would have been something like that.
Oh yeah, okay, that'd be good. Yeah. That'd be good too. But I'm just saying that's he would have been like the third, fourth choice if anything, because I can't think of anyone else after Austin that would probably do, you know. Austin, Undertaker. I can't think of anyone else who would really fit that bill, because they already got Cena's already out there. Randy, I don't know. Randy already did
his thing. Randy doesn't have anything with The Rock, right?
Yeah, not really. That's why Mankind? I don't think so.
Mick Foley. I see a lot of
No.
people talking about how, like, when Seth Rollins came out as a Shield and he didn't get the chance to get any offense in, right?
Yeah.
But my thing is
Yeah.
like, well, why should he? Because he just came with a crazy ass match against Drew McIntyre, right? He was like previously having ankle problems in that match. You know what I'm saying? He was battered and bruised from the tag match, right? And if you know what Shinsuke Nakamura's been saying, he's already broken. So it makes sense for him to kind of like make the sacrifice instead of getting a move in, right?
Yeah. Same as my comparison with Endgame, well, with Avengers Endgame, Seth Rollins was Iron Man in this
Yes.
scenario. He is the Iron Man who sacrificed himself
Yup.
for Captain America,
Right.
aka Cody Rhodes in this case.
Right. And what was the
He,
glove? The glove is the chair, the same chair that he used to kill off the shield.
Yep. Same idea.
Same idea. Which is why Roman took his mind off of it, and that's what got him to, hit
Which,
Seth Rollins.
the
But it's crazy.
whole,
I see some people saying that like they thought that when they heard Shield that they thought Jon Moxley was gonna come too. Like that would even if they did, that made no sense.
yeah, that would not make any sense with in that
That yeah, with the
scenario.
Rock, and everybody involved, like it would make no sense for Jon Moxley to come out. Also, shout out for being the new IWGP champion as well, too, by the way.
Yes, true.
But yeah, in my opinion, yeah, that I seen that on Twitter. Like I remember when it happened a couple days after. It was like, oh, I thought Jon Moxley was gonna come out. I'm like, Jon Moxley, come on, get you. But yeah, I thought everything else overall was great. Right, the ending was great. Samantha Irving MVP,
It's
right, of the
yes.
of WrestleMania. It's crazy because like she's redefining what it is to be a ring announcer. I mean, we also had Howard the Fink, right? Everybody says Howard the Fink, but let's never forget Lillian Garcia, our ring announcer for our time. Was also great as well. So shout out to her as well. NXT, they also have one. I think her name is Alicia Taylor. Is also good too. So
She's very
yeah,
good too.
she's very good too. So shout out to all the ring announcers, Samantha Irving, man. But yeah, overall, like I said, I give night two an A plus. So overall, it's an overall grade of an A plus. So my question is like, where do they go from here?
Well, ah, oh, man. Well, the build up with Punk, they utilize Punk really well in
Yes.
this scenario,
Six man
especially
award? Six man award
yeah,
possibly?
he's definitely sixth man of the year, sixth man of the award for not for the year, just for that,
Just for
for the
Mania,
time
just for
period.
Mania.
Just for Mania, he's definitely sixth man. Well, who would be the most improved?
Most improved, it has to
Sami
be.
Zayn? You want to say
I
Sami
think
Zayn? Well, no,
Sami
wait.
Zayn, it's
No, no,
hard,
no.
right? It may be Jay, right? If you look at the whole year.
Jay, yeah,
Well,
Jay. If
actually, I
you
don't
look
know.
at
Would you give it to Drew?
Oh,
I mean, not to say that
Drew.
Drew fell off, but this is not the same Drew. This is a different
That's
Drew.
true.
When you think about the way he's cutting promos, the way he's doing social media, his match is a little bit more intense. I mean, I know he's a heel, but I always felt like he kind of had this in his bag.
Oh, who would be most improved though? That what's Drew could be a good one. I'm just going through the line here. Like Sammy was a champion last year, so I wouldn't say most improved in that case then.
Like
The more I
Sammy
think
and
about
Jay
it.
haven't really lost their spot on where they are. They're just getting more responsibilities now. Like they're bigger players now. But R-Truth was nowhere last year, and now they're the tag team champions.
You could say Miz. Well, Miz.
Yeah, but Miz is always
Well,
ready,
that's true. I guess Drew. Yeah, Drew would fit the bill. I would say, yeah.
Ivar?
Bronson Reed is
Bronson
rookie.
Reed.
He could be technically almost. Yeah, I don't know. Like, rookie of the year will be technically Jade.
That's like, okay, giving Ivar most improved player is like giving, remember when they gave Hito Turkoglu most improved player? He's like 38 years old.
Yeah. Turkoglu, oh my God.
Remember that, dude? Like, they didn't give him the all-star spot, so they gave him the most improved player. It's like, oh, God.
Oh, my God.
That was horrible. But, like, no, I don't know. I had to give it to Drew in terms of, like, maybe he has more of an impact now type of thing. But, yeah, I mean, the storyline that they got going on with Punk and Drew, and they're still finding ways to carry it on is great, you know? My thing is, though, since we're talking about things that are, like, what's coming up next is, like, The Rock and Cody, right? You saw Cody, right? The Rock after Mania.
Yes.
Cut this promo about, you know, all these things. And it was kind of awkward. A lot of, like, you know, kind of like sizing up, you know what I'm saying? Metaphorically, dick sizing up each other. You know, I like your belt. Your belt feels good. Let me touch your belt. It's like, whoa, hold up, you know? Mm-hmm. And then it came to this part at the end where, like, you know, we still have a lot of story to finish. Don't ever break my heart. Like, what the fuck is Rock talking about?
I don't know, to be honest. Love affair between them back in the day. I don't know for sure. I really don't know, but
it's so vague. You know,
it's very vague. It's definitely something to do with. Well, obviously, it has something to do with his dad, but. With dad as in Cody Rhodes' dad, Dusty.
Yeah, but how would it be Cody's fault? You know what I'm saying? Like, if his dad maybe promised Rock something, and then he's telling Cody, don't break my heart, but it's like, I what did I do? I was Stardust, you know what I'm saying, when you mm-hmm. were fucking Tooth Fairy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like... we weren't here at the same time, you know, maybe for a few months, but.
Yeah. I don't know. It's tough to say. I don't know, but they're definitely building up for, was it SummerSlam? This got to be a SummerSlam match, right?
That's the Austin Theories that is supposed to build up for SummerSlam.
That's more appropriate SummerSlam match than like when the original plan of, you know, Reigns and Rock.
Yeah. And
yeah. Rhodes and, I think this one's more appropriate in this case than that, what the original idea was.
I mean, this is kind of like what they've been building too, like within the tag team match, it's kind of The Rock, you know, calling himself the final boss. And I think they're going to extend that to SummerSlam. You know, this whole
Do you think they could extend it all the way to WrestleMania?
Ooh, WrestleMania 41? I mean, we didn't think they were going to extend Roman and Cody, right? Like, we didn't think it was going to be weird. And so they could possibly do that.
Yeah. Like, would they have – that's going to be – if they're going to extend that to WrestleMania, that means Rock has to win the Royal Rumble almost.
Yeah, and do you want that to happen?
It would be a crazy Royal Rumble, I would say, definitely.
Yeah, it would be. I would like Punk, the rightful winner, to win, right, the Royal Rumble like he was supposed to. But I don't know. We hear about Punk having, like, you know, brittle bones, you know, but.
But Punk, let's say once Punk heals up and then does that Rumble, when Punk eliminates Rock from the Rumble.
To get back at him from 2013?
I don't know.
Or 2012?
Yeah, just a thought there, but that could be fun.
That could be, ooh. Oh, dude, that could be hilarious. That could be hilarious.
This is why we are Paul Levesque guys here.
That could be hilarious.
Yeah.
But speaking about things that were hilarious, okay, what were your thoughts about the exclusive footage that we got released this past week?
Oh, God. Why? I Is that if that was Tony Khan's way of countering the embarrassment that CM Punk was giving? That was a weak counter. That was a very, very weak counter.
Yeah, and it's
very
like
weak approach.
I said it on Smackin' Raw, you know, we were talking about a Circle Debate Shot, those two shows. Like, I felt like this was not the opportunity to come at WWE. You know, especially when they're at the highest levels, they're killing every ratings. Everything is just, they're just bankable right now, right?
Yes.
And so to try to come at them at this point, like, it's like nothing. It means it's seamless, right? It doesn't mean it's meaningless. And instead, you could have just, you know, went through your bag and just had a really awesome wrestling show, which AEW is known to do. Instead, you just went back to being petty again, you know? Which is kind of like what I've been saying, like, lately. Like, I don't know how about you guys feel and the rest of the homies, but it makes me not want to watch AEW.
Yeah, it seems so petty. Like, we originally were into AEW because it was something different.
Yeah.
And they didn't care about the competition. They care about what the product they have, which is good wrestling, new characters, new opportunities for other, the new talent that you've never seen before, put them in a platform. And now they're trying to do both that and then be petty. It's just like, you can't do that. You should just be you. Just do what you do best, and you'll get your crowds to come. You know.
Yeah. Well, that's the other thing. They always want to be talking smack about, oh, we killing the demo. We killing the demo. I'm like, have you seen your crowds? Like, they're depreciating like every 6 months.
Yeah.
You know, like, they're like, what, in the 2500s? 2500s! An arena that holds, like, what, like 15, 20?
15, 20, yeah. It's
you know, like, I mean, I know that, like, they probably get viewership on TV and YouTube and this and that, but you can judge a wrestling promotion on the sellouts, on the crowd, right? I mean, even, like, Warrior Wrestling and MLW and some of the other promotions, they get sellouts, and they don't have a TV. They don't have a straight TV contract like AEW does.
They just have a good product. They don't have they just need good product, good talent, and, you know, build a storyline. If Tony Khan concentrated on just building good storylines, or hire writers to actually build good storylines, or, you know, bankable storylines. Right now, he has maybe one storyline. Yeah, with one, that's about it. I would say, like, with Samoa Joe and Swerve, I think that's the only good one.
Yeah, you know, I would say that the stuff with Tony Storm is pretty good. But it's like, okay, so, like, the thing with Tony Storm, I like, but it only works for Tony Storm. Like, it doesn't work for the overall storyline, whoever her opponent is, right? Like, it only works for Tony Storm. It's not for, like, you know, let's say they got something with Thunder Rosa, but Thunder Rosa could also is good on the mic too, right? But Christian, the stuff they got with Christian is pretty good.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing with AEW. AEW, not they have so much talent. They have way too much talent, you know. Oh. And they're trying to get the, you know, the flavor of the week a lot, especially with what's going on with Mercedes Moné, to be honest. And, you know, she's just the next flavor of the week. Before that was Deonna Purrazza. Before that, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're right.
It's just flavor of the week, flavor of the week. And once that flavor of the week is done, it's like, where do you see them again? Like, we haven't seen Britt Baker in a while. We haven't seen...
We haven't seen Britt Baker in forever. Hikaru Shida, right?
Shida only showing up in ROH or something like that, just one time right now. Yeah. You have former champions you barely see, you know? And the men's side, it's like... You have all these other groups in there, and it's just, I don't know, it's just a mess. It's just a mess.
When they did the show in Boston, I thought that was really good. Like the way they laid out everything, I thought that was really, really like from start to finish, I thought it was an overall good show. But then, you know, they go back to doing this. Yeah. They all they do right now is like the biggest thing that they have is trolling. Like for a good portion of the show, like in the beginning, they'll have a good match. Like Pentagon and Edge was a good match, right? The stuff that they're doing with Okada was good, and then they had the match with Samoa Joe and Dustin Rhodes. It was a good match, but you're only doing it just to show, just to troll what they did at WrestleMania, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But then the rest of the stuff, the bulk of the stuff is just like messy. It's just unwatchable sometimes.
If it's not a big show, like a big announced show, like if it's like has a name to it, like, with Dynasty or. I would say that the show itself, yeah, that's fine, it's a good show. It's just anything in between to try to build up to that show, yeah, it could be a lot filler. Better it's filler it's like a lot filler. Filler, yeah,
exactly,
for sure. But
stand and deliver. Mm-hmm. Where we at with stand and deliver, right? Mm-hmm. Overall, stand and deliver, I thought it was excellent. I give that an A+ as well. Tony D, man. Tony D. Where do you think Tony D is going to be after this? Are they going to give him a title, another title run? They're going to put the title on him? Because I think he's worthy of a guy that can carry the title, but I know they got this thing with Trick.
Yeah. They're gonna push up. They're gonna push for Trick, but then Tony D will probably be in that mix, especially if they're gonna pivot and have the family be the heel group. I could imagine the family similar to like an Undisputed Era almost, where they try go for the gold tag collection team. I guess the tag teams, they'll get the they'll get the whole, they'll try to get all gold, and they have a with the girl of the team, they'll try, I think they could be a group that could try to get every single gold in NXT
title.
I can see that
because I mean, what, Melo's pretty much SmackDown wrestler right now, right? He's pretty much on there. Dragunov might be, if he loses this title, might be on his way up there. I mean, he already was on Raw after Mania against Shinsuke Nakamura, which was dope. So who knows? I mean, definitely Tony D is next up, but Trick is going to have the title. I thought the Roxanne versus Valkyrie match was really good.
Mm-hmm. Very reminiscent.
Melo obviously is good.
Yeah. The women's match was very reminiscent of a Bayley Sasha match. Very manipulative in terms of like using the joints and damaging certain body parts. Mm-hmm. It's very similar to what Bayley and Sasha did during their Iron Man matches.
Yeah. Yeah, and they got chemistry. Those two got chemistry too.
Oh yeah, 100%.
Yeah, so Stand and Deliver was good. Obafemi, oh my gosh, that guy's a star.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Holy cow.
Yes. Oh, man. Like, it's weird to say, like, because I know he hasn't really been doing this for a long time, but he's catching it very fast. Everything.
Very, very quickly. But Dijak almost killed somebody. that spot when he had, Dijak was carrying Brooke Jensen. He almost killed.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Dijak almost killed him.
Yeah.
He almost dropped him bad. I was like, oh my god.
But Stand and Deliver, I thought it was good. Can't go wrong with that. Looks like obviously tomorrow night on NXT they're going to be having the cage match with Trick and Melo, which I think is going to be. I think Trick is going to go over. That should finally settle everything, and you know what? Maybe Melo's going to go to SmackDown now for sure. It's going to be like his final send-off match, I think.
I don't know. I think they might pull
A third?
I think they'll pull a third.
Okay. Okay.
I really think so. And the third would have to be an Iron Man.
Okay, I can see that. I can see that. There hasn't been one in NXT in a while, so they could definitely
Yeah, so I that's why
run that back.
I think they're gonna run it back. They have to do a third.
Okay,
And then
I feel you.
that's when they that then that's the send off, I would say.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, like, you're in a good position right now in NXT. They normally don't have a lot of men that are worthy of carrying the main event. Usually, whoever the champion or contender are. So in this position, you have Trick and Mello that are like co-main eventing with whoever Dragunov is facing, which is a good position to be in. Things right now with NXT, I know that they kind of dropped off like three years ago. But that's because they were making the transition from the black and gold to, remember, NXT 2.0. Those days are gone though. Those days are long gone. So it's nice to see that NXT is having their own identity now,
My only my only concern with NXT right now is just that once Trick, Mello, and Dragunov are gone, who will step up? It's gonna be like really left right now is like Sean Spears, Duke Hudson, Agent
Well,
Andre Chase.
did you see that guy, Javon Evans?
Yeah, I saw him.
I mean, I know it's really early, but he's definitely somebody to watch. Wesley should be coming back. Wesley should be
Wesley,
coming
okay.
back. So I know I know that there's a couple guys there that we haven't really gotten and talked about, but they have a bunch of people that are coming up too. And they do the thing where they have people come down also.
It seems like that's, yeah. There seems to be more people coming down than coming up. That's a thing. Because we have, Ivar coming down, we have the Good Brothers, we already have
The Good Brothers.
now we have Final Testament. They've been downgraded to NXT now.
They oh yeah, now they're at their now they're
After
the part of the
right
tag team
after
division.
yeah, right after NXT. It's right after WrestleMania. They just dropped right into NXT. I'm like, oh man.
I
Is
mean,
that is that
listen, you never know. JD McDonough might show up,
yeah.
because
Are we gonna see a Karrion
he
Kross
can't really do
second?
anything on the main roster. Who's
Are we gonna
it?
see a Karrion Kross second title run here? Is that possible?
Oh no, please, God. Oh my gosh, please.
With
Maybe the
AOP
North
winning,
American, maybe have him a run at the North American title, but not the
don't
like just as somebody to throw around there, but
I don't know. They're gonna
not
have
another title.
if AOP goes for the title, they're gonna do the same thing. The AOP go for the title. Dragunov versus Karrion Kross for the
Karen
tie
Keith,
for the
Karen Keith.
Keith.
Oh my
Yep,
gosh.
it's possible. That's
Well, you know
highly
what? To be
probable, to be
honest,
honest.
I can see that happening since they're trying to repackage a lot of people, right? And trying to get that aura back in Karrion Keith. So who knows? You might be right. You might be right.
Well,
I can see I can also see Andrade go back down
Oh, for a
just for a
second title
small
run?
run. For just a small
Oh,
run. Just a small run.
yeah. Maybe. Maybe depending on what they're doing with him right now. I think he's just getting his feet wet again. That's all really right now.
Basically. But yeah, I mean, overall, NXT, the week of WrestleMania in general was, I mean, an
Amazing.
A. It was A all across the board. Definitely surpasses some of the other WrestleManias. I mean, would you say better than 39?
Yes. I would say yes.
Yeah, because 39 was 39 was night one was the best night. Night two was kind of like, except for the main event, right? I would definitely say WrestleMania 40. It just felt bigger. It definitely did feel bigger.
I think, but without WrestleMania 39, we would not get 40, to be
That
honest,
yeah,
too.
that's true. Yeah, that's true.
So, even though it was not the best, it was the predecessor. That one's like, that would be comparative to like Avengers the first movie kind of deal.
Well, yeah, yeah, because you needed the first one to
get
into the second one.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Well, yeah, that's a good comparison. You definitely needed that one. But keeping it on the Marvel tip for everyone that's listening, sorry homies, we don't have a sweaty session this time around, but we are going to talk about X-Men 97.
Yes.
So for anybody who hasn't watched X-Men 97, then this is the end of the show for you. But for people who have, please join and listen to us talk about X-Men 97 for a couple minutes. But Garm, X-Men 97, well, this is something that we anticipated for a long, long time. Yo, let's just go off, man. What do you think about the first five episodes so far?
Holy shit. If this was the first five episodes, the next five are going to go bonkers. It's going to be bonkers. Right? I don't know how they're going to do a season two. I don't know. But if this is their like final send-off, I swear to God, this is going to be the best send-off ever.
I thought they said that they got a season two already.
I hope that is, but I'm like, how they're going to perform after this season. It's like, holy crap. You would like the big first episode, the first couple episodes, it felt very on par with what happened in 92.
With the original yeah, show, right.
Very, very, very similar. It had that, you have that 90s feel to it. You have their the storytelling is very similar. They had animation style. I love the voice actors.
They all came back.
Voice actor. Yep. Everything. Then
except
after
for Jubilee, which shout out to her. Which shout out to the original one. She said she wanted it to be an Asian American that voiced Jubilee. So she stepped down.
Yeah.
But shout out to
her. Spoiler, she did came back to play in episode 4.
Yep. Older Jubilee. Yeah.
Older Jubilee. Yeah, spoiler alert, but yeah. But yeah, this is going to be all spoilers, I guess. Spoiler alert for this, so don't even listen to this if you don't.
Spoiler alert, come on now.
Yeah, but after like the last 5-10 minutes of season episode 1, you could tell the tone is completely different. And it's like,
oh yeah.
It fits well for the growing audience that lived to watch this in 92. Now they're adults. It matches up with that demographic easily. And
let's talk about it. I mean, like, when you have Scott going through clone baby mama drama, who is just in trauma of who is really my wife? Mm-hmm. Is it Gene A or is it clone Gene? But I gotta have a baby with clone Gene.
Yeah.
Right. But real Gene still wants us to be a relationship. But I don't know you, but I know clone Gene, and that's kind of where my heart is. You know.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
And then, what's his name? Cyclops is having side psychic DMs with clone Gene. And clone and the real Gene doesn't give him the privacy where she intercepts the psychic DMs. And say, why are you talking to her? You know what I'm saying? Like, forget her. She's not who you're really in love with. You're in love with me. And Cyclops is like, I don't know you, bitch. You know, I don't know who you are. You know.
But you have to admit they pulled off the near perfect Cyclops in media, I would say. This is like the Cyclops that you
because
watch.
The movie, the original, the movie version, the one that that guy, last name Singer, we're not gonna talk about. He made him look like a punk, right?
Yes.
He made him look like a punk. He made him look like he was worthless. The X-Men First Class, I think, was the best Cyclops in movie because at least he was more like a version of the animated series where he was a leader, he was empathetic, right? He put the team first, and he was not afraid to stand up against somebody, even though he knew he was going to get his ass whooped, right? Mm-hmm. Like, he was that guy on First Class, and that's the exact representation that we all want Cyclops to be because that's who he is to us, not this punk. Right, that Bryan Singer had him look like in the first X-Men movies.
Oh yeah, I get you. I get you. But I with this Cyclops, it's nice to see this version because not only we're showing he's showing like his vulnerability, and you could tell by his douchiness in his way because he has that the Boy Scout feel to him. Like everything has to be perfect and all that stuff. It's a character you want to hate, but then you have to respect kind of deal. Just and then the
Like
fact that
John
they
Cena, he's
actually,
like John Cena. Basically, he's like John Cena.
that's a good example. That's a very, very good example. You probably not you're annoyed by him, but you have to
You
respect
gotta
it.
respect him. Gotta respect him.
Yeah, for sure. But oh man, was it episode one was a good starting off point. Then it's two, holy
Well,
two.
the ending one, which I know is
The
taken
twist,
from the
yeah.
comics
Yep.
because the whole House of M storyline. But the fact that they just put that in right out the gate, like we're doing this right now, which kind of speaks volumes to the creators and the people that are on the writing team, because they're like, okay, we're gonna take all the stories that have come out since 92 and try to incorporate them as much as possible into the show, right? Like you see them doing the whole Genosha thing about bringing them part of the UN, which happens. The stuff with Bishop, they're telling that story about how Cable got sent off to the future. You know what I'm saying? They're keeping that all in line while introducing new characters, right? Like I like that the fact that they kept Morph, right? They got that new guy who his powers are solar with what's his name?
Oh,
Rodrigo?
that's sun. He's gonna be the sunspot.
Sunspot. There you go. Yeah. They kept that. I love that they have Jubilee grown up, right? So I like that. I like that storyline. Yeah, I mean there's not much I can say. I mean the soap opera-ness though is just getting more intense. I mean, Logan trying to get his Mac on while Jean just gave birth is kind of wild to me, you know? Talking about how like, oh, I don't remember who you are, and he's like, think deeply. It's like, yo, hold up, this girl just was just in labor, you know?
Hey, when with Wolverine, opportunity is far and few between, I guess. Very far and few between. Every time he loves someone, it always gets murdered, so
But
he might as well
but
get.
listen, how much of respect he had though when Jean was in that little lake and trying to make all these like memories, right? And she fell for Wolverine at that point, still kissed him, but Wolverine was like, nah, you Scott's girl and I'm your friend, and those are two things you can't mess with.
I also appreciate the fact that Wolverine is a side character versus a main character. I think it's nice because he's been main character for media for so long, but in the animated series, he's always been just,
He's
a
always been the
secondary
side
character.
character. Yep, exactly. Well,
So it was.
all of them were actually like they were all kind of just characters. Like nobody was number one, number two, right? It's not until the movies came out and they found out that, oh, Wolverine is the most popular character.
For sure. But I think with X-Men though, how they're laying out these episodes, they give everyone their time. I think they're gonna have to give an episode to Morph eventually. I think that's I
It's
don't think
coming.
I have to yeah, it's coming. I think it's coming. But everyone has their so far has their moment.
Yeah, I mean, come on, Gambit's the most recent one? Yo, my
God, we have
gosh,
to talk.
dude.
Can we just talk about five? Can we just
Let's
talk
talk about
about that
five. Let's
one?
go. Let's go.
Holy crap. I'll have to admit, I had to tear up a little bit on that episode. It was
Yeah.
ew, that got that for 30 minutes. This episode got me. It
That
got
was on
me
some
so
Grey's
hard.
Anatomy type level of drama.
Oh, maybe I think it's more than Grey's Anatomy. It's like This Is Us. That was This Is Us. This was This Is Us energy.
This is the X-Men.
Yeah, this is the X-Men us. Holy cow. Love triangles and oh God, and
Yeah, I mean, so my thing is, why did Magneto have to choose Rogue? He could choose anybody else, but he's like, "Oh, you're not letting me come up in here unless I have Rogue as my queen."
yeah,
It's like, dude,
well,
dog, there's a list of people you could ask here, you know.
he
Psylocke, is
all
Psylocke around? Psylocke around? Is
right.
Psylocke around?
Silent should be, hopefully. There's so many met,
Yeah.
yeah, but oh my God, but so well done. It's like unbelievably well done how they did that
It
episode.
is. I mean,
And
the fact that like, you know, it's just hitting on so many things that are going on in the world right now.
oh
But
yeah.
like, it's just the way those Sentinels were created. They're friends of humanity, right? Is that who created that
Oh,
Sentinel?
I don't think so. That's why I think it's some. I think it's a higher power of some sort, or another enemy that we don't know
Well, yeah,
about
because
yet.
why would Cable show up, right?
Yeah. So it has to be something like a big, like a new big baddie. I kind of read this comic a little bit, so there is a character they kind of hinting at, but obviously it
Okay,
hasn't
who is
been
it?
a release. He's like I don't want to give out the name yet, but he's a character that's basically an AI sentinel almost. A merge of like a major sentinel, so but he has AI compatibility, so he thinks for itself kind of deal.
Which makes sense of why he was so calculated by where he was like, you know, destroying
Yeah.
the certain parts of
That
Genosha.
their hint it seems like they're hinting at this particular storyline. But man, I didn't think I'll okay, spoilers. I did not think they will eliminate a main characters in this episode. I was like small
Yeah.
spoiler.
Well, my thing is, I don't know if Gambit is truly dead though.
I don't think so. It's I
Cause like a friend told me, shout out, if you know, you know. Nobody's truly dead in X-Men, you know?
yeah. So my
He
awesome
could just be
theory for that,
unconscious. He could be
yeah.
unconscious. Go ahead.
My awesome theory for that is, I think if you guys watch X-Men 97, you notice each episode's intro is slightly tweaked. Every
Yeah,
episode there's
every
something
episode.
tweaked
Yep,
to it.
yep, yep, yep.
Every episode slightly tweaked to it. Like there was one episode when Storm lost her powers and she left the team. Storm's intro was gone from the team
Yep.
the next episode.
Same thing with Jean Grey. It was her hair
Jean
wasn't
Grey,
in a
yes.
ponytail, it was down.
It was down and when it first started, but once she joined rejoined the team and Madeline left, then her ponytail's back.
Because that's real
But
green. That's real
yeah.
Jean.
Real Jean, yep. And then Bishop leaving to the future, back to the future, going back
He's
to
not
the
there.
future. He's not there. His intro's gone. But you know how in the intros they were showing like clips of like
Like
supposedly looked
older
like part
episodes.
the older
Like older
episodes.
episodes. Yeah.
There is a clip they showed Apocalypse with Bishop fighting against a Cable, I think, which I don't think that has happened. So my awesome theory was because Apocalypse had a team called the Four Horsemen, and each mutant they had he would use a mutant that's previously dead and make him his pawn. So like back in the comics, they had Angel was Archangel, so he was one of the horsemen. In the comics, Gambit was a horseman. He was death. He was considered death.
Oh, okay.
So since they killed him off, they'll bring him back to life. He was death. He's dead. Death. So
I see.
I think that's their workaround.
Okay. I
In
mean, and that's their and in X-Men, that's their big bad is Apocalypse. So they're gonna build up to that. But you know, I also want to talk about all the subliminal messages too. Like Rogue and Magneto having a thing. And they go to the training center and they're like, dang, Magneto and Rogue, you know, they booked this place for 10 hours. I was like, well, what are you doing in there for 10 hours?
The innuendos, so many innuendos.
You know, Ford's trying to get with Storm. Why in the hell, if you're trying to get with somebody, why would you tell the person you're the reason why you don't have the powers because I came up with the gun?
Mm-hmm.
That makes no sense to me. You know what I'm saying? Like,
that's also a life thing too.
Yeah, give it to yourself, life thing, man. Too.
That's a life thing. That's a This Is Us thing too.
Keep that shit to yourself. You know?
Oh, I can't wait till tomorrow.
X-Men 97 is so good. I can't wait for Wednesday. It is gonna be dope. I think we got 3 more episodes. I think they're only doing 8, I think.
They have 5 more.
There's 10 episodes.
It's 10.
Okay. So I know this has been probably the reason, you know, I kept Disney Plus. I was gonna cancel Disney Plus, man, until I saw this trailer, and then I'm like, okay, I guess I gotta keep it now. So we'll see. It's really been really good to watch X-Men 97. It's kind of like, you know, back in the day. But yeah, that's pretty much it for this episode. Unless Garn, you got anything else to add?
All I gotta say is that intro still bumps. The X-Men intro still bumps.
Oh, yes. I think there's a Japan version where it's alternate, but the song is different, but somebody mixed up the song. The Japan animation with the American music, which I think is pretty dope. So I'll find that. I have to check it out and send it to you.
All right,
cool. But yeah. With everything else, I mean, I think that's pretty much it. You can find me in the Get Your Podcast on the Twitter, Get Your Podcast on Instagram. If you can't find me there, you can also find me with Marks and Mikes. I was currently on the latest Smack and a Raw episode. We basically talked about the week of wrestling. There's also a Getting Off as well. Marks and Mikes episode is also up as well. Circle of Debate, check them out. Check everybody's homies out. Powerbomb Jitsu, you already know. But yeah, guys, this is it. And Garn, any last words?
This is us. See you guys.
Shout out Storm. Shout out Cable. Shout out Benji. Shout out Ben. Shout out Daryl. Shout out Charlie, Jay, our homies. We out of here. Konnichiwa, bitches.